the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do you notice in this parable about the sower that three out of the four were not saved? And the three out of the four that were not saved didn't know it. It escaped their attention. To me, this is one of the most compelling parts of this parable. It's not fed. You think the ones by the road, where the seed fell on the road, by the way, of course, the seed is the Word of God, right? The seed fell on the road, the wayside, packed down earth, so that it couldn't go into the earth. So eventually it was snatched away by the birds of the air, and the birds of the air are the demons. You think those people know? You think those people miss God? Don't you know people that really aren't religious, don't really care much? They don't seem to care. They're not aware of what they're missing. And then there are the people who are by the rock, right? This is meaning rocky land, shallow land, land that has a little bit of earth, and then rock. Well, anyone who gardens or farms knows this is very poor soil for growing, because things begin to grow, but then they die because they don't have enough soil to take root, to get enough moisture and enough nutrients, and eventually they die. You think these people know? Do you know people like this? I do. Most people, I would say, the vast majority of people, in fact, I would say really all of us, are not aware of our shortcomings as we should be. Now, the difference between the good ground and all this other ground is not that a person is really particularly, might be even better than another person, but that they're aware of their shortcomings because they have an honest and good heart. But these people in the rock, they receive the word with joy, but then they don't have any endurance. Now, I speak about endurance all the time. If you look over the catalog of my homilies over the past years, it's always about, there's some certain themes that come up all the time. And one of them is always about endurance, about continuing. Because there's so much that we're not aware of. There's so much that we don't do right. And there's so much that is so difficult. And the funny thing about falling away from the faith is, it's not that we fall completely away so that we don't go to church anymore, or that we don't consider ourselves a Christian, but in essence, we don't live as Christians. And those are these people. Lots of those kinds of people go to church. Lots of those kinds of people sing in choirs and read the Bible and give alms. But the essence of Christianity is lacking from them because they are not enduring. Like I said before about the Gospels, the Epistles, all of the Bible, you have to look at it for what it's telling you. Now, one time I said before in a sermon, we all tend to think we're like, at least, you know, we're somewhere near that good ground. How do you know? What in your life is proving that you're the good ground and not this rocky soil? I question myself about that every day. Then they're the ones by the thorns. When people are choked with cares and worries of life, if they're really choked with those cares, they're not really aware of how much they're missing. Remember how I told you many, many times about the Gergesenes? And the most striking part of that story is that when the Lord was told to leave, He left. Life went on. They got their pigs back. They fixed things up, got back to making a living, and the Lord had visited them, and they had an opportunity to be filled with His grace, and they rejected Him, and He went away. No lightning struck, no terrible rains, no pestilence and disease. He just left, and they were completely unaware of what they had missed. And I think that's the way our life is. we're unaware of how much we miss. Now may I offer for you a way to be more aware of spiritual things. The Christian life is really a way of changing our attitude, our way of thinking. Because with our way of thinking and our attitude comes changes in the things we do, right? So the apostle says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's talking about changing the way we think about our life. Now when he says, I am crucified with Christ, what he's saying actually is, everything I do is with Christ. Because I'm emulating Christ. Christ is in me, and I in Christ. Therefore, I am not only crucified with Christ, but I live day to day with Christ. Everything I do is with Christ. What a difference it would make if we truly held this close to our breast and really lived that way. The people in these three kinds of land, they didn't live like this. They said they believed in Christ and other such things. But it wasn't with this sort of intensity that the apostle talks about. Do you feel the intensity of his words? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If we use this as the standard for everything we say and do and think and feel, then we would not miss the grace of God. Then we would be that honest and good heart that bears fruit. Otherwise, we're just like the rest of the world. Some people say they believe in God. Some people don't. Their lives are not appreciably different. How can our lives be appreciably different? By recognizing that it's no longer us that lives alone. Christ lives in us. And to in every possible way try to actuate that living. You should always be thinking about what the right thing to do is. Always be thinking that you've been bought with a price. The life that you live is no longer your own. If it were your own, that you would die and have no life in you. But Christ lives in us. We have to recognize that in everything we do. And I've told you also before that many times the Scriptures has things for different people. Different people, Scriptures hit them in different ways, and some really, really touch them in a way that really is dear to them and makes them remember. But many of the Scriptures are very useful as something to have as sort of a, I don't want to cheapen it, but like a slogan. Like something that you hold so close and that you remember. This is who I am. I am crucified with Christ. It's not me that's living, it's Christ that's living in me. Think how that can keep you from sin. I would say that a man who is thinking that and believing that and feeling that with all of his heart would not sin. Many other scriptures are like this, but this one is particularly powerful for me. Perhaps it is for you. Perhaps another one. If we are to be this good ground, brothers and sisters, we must feel with great intensity that we are crucified with Christ. That doesn't mean that we suffer. That's not what the verse is saying. Yes, Christ suffered, and if it's necessary for us to suffer, so be it. It's not about suffering. It's about becoming. It's about becoming something we are not, and we're not capable of becoming except with Christ. And we will become perfected. By the way, I will correct a definition that many people don't understand. Do you know what it means to be justified? we have this word justice, right? We think of courts of law, and we think of if someone does something, they're punished because justice has prevailed. To be justified is to become righteous. That's what the word means. So St. Paul is talking here, we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And then this parable shows what this faith is. This faith is to receive the word of God, to keep it, and to bring forth fruit. And I submit to you that one thing that can help us to keep this word of God is to continue to remember who we are. You can't do anything right if you don't know who you are. Who are we? We are Christians. We have been bought with a price. Christ lives in us. We don't live alone. Therefore, we are crucified with Him. Therefore, everything we do is with Him and by Him and for Him. Everything. If you can't do something with Christ, you shouldn't be doing it. Try to hold these things to your heart. I was recently reading something from a Romanian patericon. It was being translated about a fool for Christ. I think his name was George. And he carried the Psalter with him everywhere he went. And he read from it constantly. He actually had the Psalms memorized, but sometimes he read from it, sometimes he chanted it. And this was an age, this was really so long ago, this was a couple hundred years ago now, but an age when you could go from monastery to monastery and you could get alms from the faithful and such, and it doesn't work like that anymore. But perhaps in some places, but certainly not in this country, such a person would just be medicated and put in a mental hospital. And I just was really taken by, he carried the Psalter with him everywhere he went. It's all that mattered to him. He carried the Psalter and the Gospel with him, but he especially read the Psalter over and over and over again. And he became sanctified and blessed and clairvoyant. It's all that mattered to him. What can we say is all that matters to us? The man who says he's crucified with Christ, all that matters is Christ. That is the definition of a Christian. So are we? Which ground are you? Now, the good ground knows if it's the good ground. Because you feel the light of God in your heart. If you don't feel that warmth of God in your heart continuously, then I would advise you to wonder if you might be one of those other three kinds of ground. Now, you can always change ground. That's the wonderful thing. You can change bad ground to good ground. With much labor and with the faith of Christ. So let us remember that we are crucified with Christ. We don't live for ourselves. Christ lives in us. And if we live in this way, then we will be the good ground and we will bring fruit.